There's that school bell. Get your Bible. It's time for the Warren County Radio Bible School. Grab your Bible and turn to Acts chapter 12, and then pull up your seat and turn up your radio and get ready to read with me this account of in the life of Peter, a time where Peter had a close escape, for he was, well, when we put criminals on prison to execute them, they're on death row. So you might be able to say Peter here is on death row, but then he is gloriously delivered. And we'll read about that in Acts chapter 12 in just a moment. And so while you're getting your Bible and turning to Acts chapter 12, I'll remind you that the Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond Mountain, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m., and all are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rock Cliff, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. Now let's turn in our Bibles to Acts chapter 12. I'm going to read this account of how Peter was delivered from prison when he was essentially on death row. And I'll be reading from the American Standard Version. Here's what we have. Acts chapter 12 and verse 1. Now about that time Herod the king put forth his hands to afflict certain of the church, and he killed James the brother of John with the sword. And when he saw that it pleased the Jews, he proceeded to seize Peter also. And those were the days of unleavened bread. And when he had taken him, he put him in prison, and delivered him to 4 quadrillions of soldiers to guard him, intending after the Passover to bring him forth to the people. Peter, therefore, was kept in the prison. But prayer was made earnestly of the church unto God for him. And when Herod was about to bring him forth, the same night Peter was sleeping between 2 soldiers bound with 2 chains, and guards before the door kept the prison. And behold, an angel of God stood by him, and a light shined in the cell. And he smote Peter on the side and awoke him, saying, "Rise up quickly." And his chains fell off his hands. And the angel said unto him, "Gird thyself, and bind on thy sandals." And he did so. And he said unto him, "Cast thy garment about thee, and follow me." And he went out and followed, and knew not that it was true which was done by the angel, but thought he saw a vision. And when they were past the 1st and 2nd guard, they came unto the iron gate that led into the city, which opened to them of its own accord. And they went out and passed on through 1 street, and straightway the angel departed from him. And when Peter was come to himself, he said, "Now I know of a truth that the Lord hath sent his angel forth to deliver me out of the hands of Herod and from the expectation of the people of the Jews." And when he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together and were praying. And when he knocked at the door of the gate, a maid came to answer, named Rhoda. And when she knew Peter's voice, she opened not the gate for joy, but ran in and told that Peter stood before the gate. And they said unto her, "Thou art mad." But she confidently affirmed that it was so. And they said, "It is his angel." But Peter continued knocking, and when they had opened, they saw him and were amazed. But he, beckoning to them with the hand to hold their peace, declared unto them how the Lord had brought him forth out of prison, and said, "Tell these things unto James and to the brethren." And he departed and went into another place. Now as soon as it was day, there was no small stir among the soldiers what was become of Peter. And when Herod had sought for him and found him not, he examined the guards and commanded that they should be put to death. And he went down to Judea, from Judea to Caesarea, and tarried there. Well, the next time we read about Peter in the book of Acts is in Acts chapter 15, and we discussed that in our last class, how that he related how he had gone to the Gentiles and taught them the gospel. And evidently, after that conference in Jerusalem in Acts chapter 15, where both Paul and Barnabas and Peter and James had affirmed that the Gentiles, they're going to be saved just like we are, by hearing, believing, and obeying the gospel of Christ. It was after that that Peter goes up to Antioch. And we have to commend Peter, because in Antioch here is a church that consists both of Jews and Gentiles. And Peter is gone, and why, his very presence there could affirm the truth which they were preaching in Jerusalem concerning those Gentiles. But then Peter made a terrible mistake, and he is rebuked by Paul for that mistake. And we read about this in the book of Galatians. Paul writes concerning this in Galatians chapter 2, beginning in verse 11. And here he calls Peter by the name Cephas. That's the same person, and they both mean stone. And so Paul writes, "But when Cephas came to Antioch, I resisted him to the face, because he stood condemned. For before that certain came from James, he ate with the Gentiles. But when they came, he drew back and separated himself, fearing them that were of the circumcision. And the rest of the Jews dissembled likewise with him, inasmuch that even Barnabas was carried away with their dissimulation. But when I saw that they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel, I said unto Cephas before them all, If thou, being a Jew, livest as do the Gentiles, and not do as the Jews, how compellest thou the Gentiles to live as do the Jews? But we, being Jews by nature, and not sinners of the Gentiles, yet knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but through faith in Jesus Christ, even we who believe on Christ Jesus, that we might be justified by faith in Christ, and not by the works of the law, because by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. But if, while we sought to be justified in Christ, we ourselves also were found sinners, is Christ a minister of sin? God forbid. For if I build up again those things which I destroyed, I prove myself a transgressor. For I through the law died unto the law, that I might live unto God. I have been circumcised with Christ. It is no longer I that live, but Christ liveth in me. And that life which I now live in the flesh, I live in faith, the faith which is in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself up for me. I do not make void the grace of God, for if righteousness is through the law, then Christ died for naught." Now here we have Peter again, stepping out and going to Antioch, as he very likely should have gone, to confirm that truth that the Jews and Gentiles are saved alike. And yet when he got there, typical of Peter, he stumbled and fell. And by his action in separating himself from the Gentiles to be only with the Jews, he was making an opposite statement. Now that's why Paul rebuked him. He rebuked him publicly. He rebuked him to the face. And he even wrote about that rebuke in a public letter sent to the churches of the Gentiles. Well, Peter had acted wrong on that occasion. Peter always taught the truth. But Peter did not always abide by the truth which he taught. And so many of us are that way as well. And so here's one preacher, Paul, calling out another preacher, Peter. But I want to show you what a wonderful, magnanimous man that Peter is. because some preachers might have smarted under a public rebuke like that and says, well, I'll never work with Paul again if he's going to be that way. But not Peter. Peter knew what it was to make a mistake and then to fix that mistake and to come back stronger. And before Peter died, he too wrote a public letter for the churches to read. And in that letter, he commended Paul. Let me read that to you. And 2 Peter chapter 3, beginning in verse 14 down through verse 18. He says, wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for these things, give diligence that ye may be found in peace, without spot and blameless in his sight, and accounting that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul also, according to the wisdom given to him, wrote unto you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of things which, wherein are some things hard to be understood, which the ignorant and unsteadfast rest, as they do also the other scriptures, unto their own destruction. Ye therefore, beloved, knowing these things beforehand, beware, lest being carried away with the error of the wicked, ye fall from your own steadfastness, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory, both now and forever. Amen. And with that, Peter set down his pen. Now you see, Paul had to publicly rebuke Peter, and Peter, in response, praised his beloved brother Paul and commended the things that Paul wrote as sacred writings, as scriptures, saying they are like the other scriptures. What a wonderful, humble man Peter was. A man not without mistakes, but a man that knew how to correct his mistakes and learn from his mistakes and grow from his mistakes. And so we can relate to Peter. And now with that, I want to return to the little Sunday school book that I have. This is a Sunday school book that was written for the Sundays of 1923 by a preacher named E.A. Elam. And he wrote about the life of Peter for a Sunday school lesson for the Sunday school of July the 15th, 1923. And in this Sunday school lesson, he focuses first on the text in Matthew chapter 16, beginning in verse 13, where Peter makes the great confession that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. And so we're going to pick up our material there and return back to these Sunday school notes, and let me read them to you. It begins this way. Number 1, what think ye of Christ? Whose son is he? And we read in Matthew chapter 16 in verse 13. Now when Jesus came to the parts of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, is? Well, in Mark, we read that Jesus went forth and his disciples into the villages of Caesarea Philippi. Parts means the country surrounding this city. And Jesus went through the towns of that country, no doubt, teaching the Jews. Again, Mark, in his same verse, in Mark 8:27, says, and on the way, Luke 9:18 says that Jesus was alone praying with his disciples when he asked the question, who do men say that the Son of Man is? In his humility, and because he was in the flesh, he calls himself the Son of Man. He frequently thus spoke of himself. All the miraculous, benevolent work of Jesus were to convince the world that he is the promised seed of Abraham, the long-looked-for Messiah, the Christ, the Son of the living God. If he is not this, then he is false, a blasphemer, and an impostor. The multitudes had flocked to him by the thousands and had seen and enjoyed his various and numerous miracles. Now, what do they say of him? Well, we're going to continue with this lesson in the next class period.